A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So it's exactly 8 o'clock. Today is the 30th of June, Tuesday class 2020. I will go through with you all on the outline short notes that Sister Manyuan has helped prepare the draft. Then I edited it. Then it has a lot of very important sharing and teaching. As I undergo through that, for those who have read, they will understand. The first part involves understanding mindfulness, how to develop mindfulness. And mindfulness is not a method or technique where you can practice. You can't. You need to have understanding. So that part, when I go through, you will understand. Then there is also the later part towards the end where Brother Song share about her office situation where the boss blamed him for certain things that didn't go right. And for most cultivators who has gone through the cultivation, even for Brother Song's case, sometimes it still happened to him. That's why I advise him, you don't go back to the memory, the head, and use the thought to try to reason why your heart area that still got movement, got that anxiety or suffering, because his mind is sensitive. He has the mindfulness and the sensitivity, and he can feel it, uneasiness down there. Then later on, I told him, don't go to the thought. Just from your understanding, spontaneously resolve it, just like what Han Po Cheng realized. No need to think, just aware. They understand. So the understanding part is very important. That's how you free your mind. And always remember, the way to solve problem is to accept the reality at peace. Silence your mind to feel it, to realize that cessation, that your problem is no more. But the thought from behind will come out and tell you, I haven't solved my problem. No. That's why it still has this attachment to that thought that tell you the problem is still there. And this one hit him because it was not his mistake. He was blamed. So the situation is a lot different from normal one. But same, whatever the situation is, with the understanding, you should resolve it. Then. So resolving it is following Noble Eightfold Path. Resolve it amicably. That's why with Noble Eightfold Path, everything can be resolved. Because Noble Eightfold Path is a meditation taught by the Buddha. And if you cultivate it, it will lead to the end of all suffering. So that part after it, I will go through. Then you will develop very good understanding. And last night, I was going through the Heart Sutta book. I just want to know where did I stop. And since I got time, I want to just read through a bit. Then I happened to turn to the page 131. Then I saw that part, which is so good. That one is the one that explains what Song went through. And when you understand that, you will break free. Because on page 131, there is one very important sharing. On page 132. Somewhere on the third paragraph. The one thing to react or to become peaceful and calm via the thought is a delusion. This is what the mundane mind come back through the back door and tell you. Sometimes after you meditate for a long time, no more mental hindrance, very peaceful, fully aware, mind tranquil, still. Then for no reason, suddenly, one day, the opposite happens. You can't get your peacefulness, calmness, tranquility, stillness. Then you encounter situation and problem. So your mind actually react to it because you are not at peace. The reason being, you have not stabilized your understanding. Some of this defilement in the form of thought can come back in the back door. Sometimes it's the condition that arises to test you, but you don't have the understanding that is stable enough to enable you to resolve all issue and all situation amicably. That's how cultivator get into problem and how they entangle situation. So this part, after I brief you and go through, you will learn and you will become very different. Okay, so outline short note for Brother Teo's Sunday class dated 21st of June. Our reference book is The Path to Truth for Modern Day Bodhisattva Practitioner. The title of the chapter we are sharing is, they put as the practice of mindfulness. Then I started by commenting, the title should be the development of mindfulness, because mindfulness cannot be practiced. As practice means to do something repetitively in a mechanical way without proper understanding. Because the doing is always by the thought. And when thought is active, how can one be mindful or in the state of sati? The commonly taught method and technique of meditation is to anchor the mind in sati so that it is not heedlessly lost in thought. And this is just a skillful means to train the mind so that it can be mindful of the object of meditation. However, when there is understanding, mindfulness can be developed without the need of a method, technique, or skillful means. It is therefore more appropriate to develop mindfulness based on understanding. Based on the understanding that the moment you are without thought, you are already naturally mindful or aware. So what you must do in the meditation is you just relax body and mind and maintain awareness to realize the true mind, the silent mind, which is your meditative mind. And this true mind or silent mind is just an awareness nature within. No thinking, no thought, no sankhara, just silent, aware. Then when we are relaxed, at ease and without thought, our mind will slow down and return to its original state of pure inner awareness. Due to our lack of spiritual, the five spiritual faculties, your daily life will not be in order due to your heedless thinking born of your five mental hindrances. You will then develop a lot of habitual tendency or thinking. Due to a life of perpetual disorder, means heedless most of the time, you are hardly mindful or aware. It will take the heedless a long time to do away with this habitual thinking. So that's the reason why people find it very difficult to meditate. So the first thing they need to do is to decondition the heedless thinking or to prevent the thought from heedlessly wandering off. That's the reason why a lot of people don't know what to do. They come up with method and technique to fix the mind so that this mind doesn't wander off. So that they can concentrate or focus. That becomes thought-based meditation. Or they go and note. But the better way which the Buddha taught is like anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath. So he said, be with the in and out breath, mindful of it, just silent your mind, aware, then breathing in, aware, breathing out, aware, until awareness and the breath move as one in perfect harmony without thought. That is anapanasati. That is to train the mind to be mindful of that object of meditation, which is the breath. So depend on your object of meditation. If you do one-pointedness, then there is no mindfulness. It's just focusing, concentrating, absorption, thought-based meditation, leading to samatha. You will become calm and peaceful because you kill all your thought into one point. So when you understand that all this is just skillful means to anchor the mind, to train the mind, then don't waste time. You might as well go straight into the understanding of sati. When you understand sati, you can meditate very easily. Because the moment you are without thought, you are already aware. No need to practice mindfulness or awareness. I just have to relax and maintain awareness. Then the mind settle down, slow down, and I will realize the true mind without thought, the silent mind, the meditative mind. And that is what meditation is all about. And once you stabilize that, you become ever mindful, constantly aware. Then you develop it until very stable, until mind enters sati. That is the training. Then when mind enters sati, everything you do is in sati. Then when you come out of that training, the formal meditation, you will start to experience a different type of mind. A mind that can be aware of so many things. A mind that is so sharp in its awareness or sati or mindfulness. There is clarity, hardly any thinking. Most of the time it's aware. Initially, you can anchor the awareness to your kaya activity and movement. That's the reason why when you come out of it, all your action and movement, you realize your mind is with it. Then later on, when you look at things, the mind, the awareness is with that phenomena that you try to see. Could be a moving car, a walking animal, or human being, or any nature's activity or movement. Whatever you perceive, there is this awareness that moves with the phenomena. It doesn't think, it doesn't stay there, it just moves. If you want to just aware, to see things as they are, you can, completely silent, no thought, nothing. Then it's just aware, spacious awareness. It doesn't dwell. So all this will become something very natural to you once you develop the meditation correctly. That's the reason why Sister Han and some Kayamita who can do it, they will experience all this. So tonight with this understanding, I hope you can develop the training in a more evolved way where the understanding is there. So just give it a try. When your five spiritual faculties are there, there is no mental hindrance, then you are in the meditative state straight away. Because saddha virya will lead to sati. And when sati is there, you are without thought, just aware, mindful. That's why you relax, maintain awareness, mindfulness. Then the mind will settle down and become very quiet and still. That is what meditation is all about. Then stabilize it. Okay, so now we will off the light. You can have half an hour of silent inner awareness meditation based on this understanding. So if you want to develop the faith first, pay respect to Triple Gem. Then relax body and mind. Then maintain awareness. You can be in any posture, sitting, or you can maybe lean against the wall, or sit on a chair, if you have your leg problem or whatever, if you already quite elderly, you don't have to cross your leg. Of course, if you can, it's better for you to do it for a while, but not necessary. Then later on, you look for the posture that is most conducive, most appropriate to allow your mind to settle down and develop the training of the mind to be aware. Use it. In fact, finally, you will come to realize the lying down posture is the best. Because when you are lying down, there is no constriction of energy flow because your leg, they are straight. You didn't cross it. For those who cross their leg, you don't know how to relax into it. The chi at the knee where the cross leg bend is, the flow of chi can be constricted there. And sometimes because of the pressure you apply against the cushion or the hard floor, then you will have pain, numbness and all those things. But if you know how to relax, it's okay. You can overcome it. Then you can maintain sati. Then sati will take over. You can try it. Yeah. Okay. Maintain awareness and attention. Then we will continue from where we stop. We are at the outline short notes. Yeah. Point number 3. Meditation will only kick in when there is understanding. When we understand that without thought, we are already naturally aware. We are already in a meditative state of silent inner awareness. Then meditation becomes very easy. Therefore, we just need to relax our body and mind and maintain awareness to stabilize this meditative state of inner peace, inner awareness, so that we can be ever mindful and constantly meditative throughout the day. So this is the ultimate training, to be heedful, to be mindful, constantly aware, ever mindful. So after understanding what is meditation, then it's very easy to develop it. The Buddha explained very clearly under Dhammapada verse 21, 22 and 23 the importance of heedfulness. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless, the Buddha said. The heedful never die, whereas the heedless are as if dead. So based on this Dhammapada verse 21, we will understand the importance of training our mind to be heedful. The moment you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment according to the Buddha. That's why the verse 21, 22, 23, they are all related. And they confirm the importance of heedfulness. The moment you are heedful, you never die. Means you are destined for enlightenment. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. Heedless means you are not mindful, you are not aware, you are not in the meditative state, you are lost in thought. That's the reason why meditation is to reverse all this. So just how we went through, right? The first and second point that defines clearly what meditation is. So when you understand that, then you will know how to do it appropriately. Maybe I read through again. Point number 1 and 2 for those who came in later, so that you will not miss. So this outline short note was based on our Sunday class dated 21st of June 2020. We use the reference book, The Path to Truth, for modern day Bodhisattva practitioner. We are on page 73 to 75, the chapter on the practice of mindfulness. So here, as commented by me on that day, I say the title should be The Development of Mindfulness, because mindfulness cannot be practiced, as practice implies or means to do something repetitively in a mechanical way without proper understanding. Because the doing is always by the thought, and when thought is active, how can you be mindful or be in sati? This is obvious, isn't it? When you are chattering, labeling, creating mental activity, how can you be aware? That the thought is actively doing, noting, focusing, concentrating, following methods and techniques. So there is no way you can meditate if you do that. So this mindfulness, you must understand, is awareness before the knowing. The moment you are without thought, you are already aware. So when you understand this, you will know how to meditate. So I will read on, then you will understand. The commonly taught methods and techniques of meditation is to anchor the mind in sati so that the mind is not heedlessly lost in thought. And these methods and techniques are just skillful means to train the mind so that it can be mindful of the object of meditation, that is sole purpose. However, when there is understanding, mindfulness can be developed without the need of such methods and techniques or skillful means. It is therefore more appropriate or important to develop mindfulness based on the understanding that the moment you are without thought, you are already naturally mindful or aware. So just relax body and mind. So this relaxed part is very important. You have to completely relax until you can feel the body and mind is so relaxed. If you cannot do it, your mindfulness cannot settle down. It has to be very relaxed without stress completely. Then just maintain awareness, means don't try to think, don't try to know, just relax and silence the mind. Without thought, you are already aware. So just maintain that state of alertness, awareness. Whatever that arrives, aware, finish. Don't try to continue with the thinking. To realize the true mind, which is just an awareness nature within. So when you relax and maintain awareness, your heedless thinking or sankhara activity will slow down, slow down, slow down, until finally you will become very quiet, very peaceful, and very still. If you are doing it for the first time, if you are patient enough, when you are very relaxed, you just silent, maintain awareness, then suddenly you will realize the shift of consciousness, means the sankhara activity and the heedless thinking no more. When that one is no more, you can feel that you are silent, completely different. Like their consciousness has shifted and become very quiet, very still. Then you realize there is no more activity, no more movement. It's just the awareness nature inside that. That is what you need to do. So first part is to relax, maintain awareness, to realize that silent mind, that true mind, the meditative mind. Means the mind that is tranquil, still, with inner awareness. Then point number two, when we are relaxed, at ease, and without thought, our mind will return to the original state of pure inner awareness. It is because we lack, most people lack the five spiritual faculty, then the mental hindrance take over. That's why their daily life are not in order, due to their heedless thinking born of the five mental hindrances. They will then develop a lot of habitual thinking or habitual tendency, because throughout the day they stir their mind, they react to sense experience, to arise mental hindrance of like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant emotion, which is basically the first two mental hindrances of sensual desire and ill will. Then due to a life of perpetual disorder or heedless living, it will condition the living being into a state of heedlessness that is very difficult for them to unfold, unlock or reverse them. It will take the heedless a long time to do away with this habitual heedless thinking. So be mindful, aware, and see this. Then reverse it through an understanding, through meditation. That's why you need to develop more and more harmony, peacefulness, through relax and maintain awareness. Don't think. Okay? Then point number three we have gone through. Meditation will only kick in when you understand, when there is this understanding. Means when you understand that without thought, we are already naturally aware or mindful. Then we are already in a meditative state of silent inner awareness. Therefore, just relax and maintain awareness to stabilize this meditative state so that you can be ever mindful and constantly meditative throughout the day. This is the meditative mind. That's how you develop the meditation. Then point number four is also very important. When our mind is composed with the faith, the spiritual faculty virya or spiritual zeal will arise to drive us to cultivate the mindfulness or sati. Then with virya, sloth and torpor cannot arise. Instead, there will be mindfulness or sati. When mindfulness stabilizes, we will be able to see clearly the mind's movement and activity, thereby understanding how we function as a human being following the dwelling of paticca-samuppada, how we form our views, opinions, and accumulate them into our memories, how our culture, tradition, belief system, education, and scars of memory, etc., condition us and make us rigid and have certain predictable pattern of behavior to stir our mind, to react to sense experience. We then act according to these accumulated memories, experiences, and conditioning. That is how most heedless human beings act. And because they do that, that is how they react to sense experience and develop conflict in life. We have to realize all this in the meditation and understand how the mundane mind arises and passes away based on nature's condition. How we get ourselves entangled in life leading to suffering. The cause of suffering is always your craving, which arise from your wrong view, your self-delusion, wanting things your way. When we realize this, our mind free or liberates. We will understand the Four Noble Truths and its three turning, and the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So this is the whole cultivation. Spiritual faculty leading to the mindfulness, stability of it leading to the meditation, so that you can silence your mind to observe, to be aware of what is going on in life, to see clearly who are you, what are you, and how you function as a human being, how your mundane mind arise and pass away, how it get itself entangled and conditioned into various mind states. How do you do ignorant, wrong view? It stir your mind. It causes you to be reactive when you confront sense experience without wisdom. So all this is Dhamma, meditation, cultivation. The silent mind observing without thought is the meditation. That is the direct seeing, the awakening. It can insight into phenomena and realize the three universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, and anatta. That's how you arise the wisdom. Then we move on to point number 5. We need to stabilize our sati until it becomes samadhi or mind enters sati. That is, at the moment of sense experience, our mind will not stir based on our accumulated memory that we have accumulated. Instead, we must act according to wisdom. We are seeing things as they are. We know that before we perceive, there was nothing in the mind, no word, no concept. Then how did those words, concept, and those views and opinions and conditioning comes in? You have to investigate. Obviously, it's from memories, accumulated memories, due to your lack of right view or wisdom as taught by the Buddha, isn't it? We then straighten our view to transcend duality, to be at peace with every moment, every circumstances in life, to accept the reality of the moment, the sitting as they are, conditioned like that, things will like that. Then wisdom will arise. Wisdom liberates the mind. The mind is no longer agitated. And because it's no longer agitated, it does not cling or get itself entangled with phenomena, especially the phenomenal world of form and consciousness. If we do not apply the teaching, they remain as knowledge. When we apply the teaching, we live our life in accordance with Buddha's wisdom and advice. That is, we will have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path. We can apply right mindfulness to investigate whatever that arises in the mind and be awakened to the truth and reality of the moment. We must constantly check whether our action, speech, and thought process can still harm ourselves and others. That's why this aspect is meditation check. Then point number 7. Awareness is the wisdom light. Without awareness or mindfulness, we are lost in thought, hence heedless. Remember this. Without sati, awareness or mindfulness, you cannot meditate. You cannot awaken. So this awareness or sati or mindfulness is the wisdom light. So without it, you are lost in thought. Because when you are not aware, you are thinking, you are lost in thought. Preoccupied with all the thinking and thought process, then the emotion that arise, the fear, the anxiety, the sorrow, the lamentation, everything. So this is what the Buddha termed as heedless living. Because you are not mindful, you are not aware, you don't know what is going on. You just allow your wrong view, your ignorance, your delusion to condition you into negativity, to arise the evil roots, the 5 mental hindrances. That's how you become miserable, afflicted, suffer. Then we move on. Our mind lacks awareness or space between thought. So if you have this problem, means most of the time you are not aware, you think a lot, so there is no space between thoughts. The thought proliferate continuously, like unending, You think a lot. That's why the heedless one, the Puttajana, before you become enlightened, you think a lot. That's the reason why in the early day I say, human being is a creature of thought, because that is the only instrument you know since birth until now. You just go to the thinking, go to the forehead, the brain there, and thought is respond to memory. That's how thought continuously proliferate. So when thought proliferate, you lack awareness. You don't have space. When there is no space, you are stressed up. All these thoughts, which are without the right view or wisdom, they are wrong thought. Then what are wrong thought? Thought that condition your suffering, your misery, your sorrow, your lamentation, your anger, your evil roots. So wrong thought are very, very dangerous mind state, because wrong thought will make you miserable. Wrong thought give rise to negativity of mind state, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation. All this arise because of wrong thought. So thought that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, and lack of peace are wrong thought. Then your life, why do you think the wrong thought? Living beings do that without understanding, where they lack this teaching, they lack this dhamma, and they don't know that they are actually constantly indulging in heedless thinking, which are mainly, most of the time, wrong thought. Because they don't know what sati is, what mindfulness is, what awareness is. So they hardly have any space between thought. This space or awareness is the wisdom line. Without space, there is no clarity. You are clouded by the thinking, the thought process, the sankhara activity, the emotion, the mental agitation that lead to the lack of peace. All this negativity of mind state creates stress, creates suffering, misery, afflicts you, and make people miserable. That's how depression comes to be. That's how people get into all this very, very sick mental conditioning, and their mind become like very, very miserable, down. People who have depression, they will know. Then a lot of human beings, they lack this understanding, they lack this dhamma understanding to train their mind to develop the understanding of what the meditative mind is, and to transform and change so that their life can become different. So if you don't understand this teaching, you don't know how to train your mind, then you become heedless. And the Buddha said the heedless are as if dead. That's the reason why all of meditation, you start off with training the mind to be aware, to be heedful. When you are aware, that is the beginning of training to be heedful. Yet to be heedful, you have to be ever mindful. So awareness is mindfulness. Then you stabilize it to be ever mindful. Then use it to meditate, constantly meditative. That's heedfulness. And the heedful never die. Once you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. So this point number 7 is very useful, very important. Without awareness, there is no meditation. Point number 8. There are two types of time, which I explained earlier on. First is the physical time, where the scientists use. Physical time is a measurement of the time our planet Earth takes to go around the sun, which is 365 and a quarter day in a year. 24 hours in a day, then 60 minutes in an hour, etc. So this is a measurement. Yeah? So when it comes to measurement, it's physical time. Yeah? So you cannot stop physical time. Your physical time will move on. There is a measurement. Then there is what we call the second type, psychological time. Psychological time is mental time. When we are lost in thought, we are creating mental time. We are using a lot. The mind without thought has no mental time. It is tranquil. It is tranquility, stillness, and just an awareness nature within. And there is no mental movement or sankhara activity. Therefore, it is timeless, akaliko, beyond thought, beyond psychological time. And this is the meditative mind. That's why all meditation is just to realize this silent mind. The mind that is tranquil, still, and just aware within. That is your true mind, which is capable of awakening. That's why we call it the meditative mind. And it's also called the silent mind because it doesn't think. It doesn't chatter. It doesn't create proliferation of thought or thinking activity. Yeah. So mental chattering, mental proliferation is a sign of heedlessness. When you can be just relaxed, aware, without thought, that is meditation. And throughout the day, you can be in the state of awareness or mindfulness with hardly any thought. You are a true cultivator. That's the reason why I always say, without the stability of daily mindfulness, you are incapable of being heedful in the midst of life. And you cannot cultivate. You cannot awaken. The daily mindfulness is a must. The stability of it decides your progress. Without a stable daily mindfulness, you cannot meditate. You cannot develop the real wisdom. Okay, then I read on. The true mind is never born, therefore it never dies. It is the unconditioned. The true mind never accumulates memories because it is just aware, no word, no concept. That it can bring about living life. It lives in the present moment, and it's ever shining with clarity and awareness. It's not clouded, cluttered with all the agitation, the restlessness of mind, the emotion, the wrong thought, the evil roots, the mental hindrance. All those, no more. Like what Sister Han shared with us. He said, when the shift of consciousness comes, when the sati arise, it was so amazing, he said. That mind is just aware, without thought, without mental hindrance. And she can be in that state throughout the meditation that lasted almost an hour plus. Normal cultivator or living being can't even have a few seconds of silent mind moment. Yes. To realize the mind which is without thought, even for a short moment, they can't. That's why peace is very difficult to come by. Peace born of a true mind, a free mind, is very difficult to come by. And the alternative is they go and focus, concentrate, and fix the thought so that it cannot think to realize that samatha, peace. And that type of peace is different. That type of peace is a conditioned state. It builds up energy field. It's not a free mind. and it suppressed the mental hindrance, and it developed a lot of strong energy field. So that type of mind is not conducive for wisdom. It's conducive for psychic energy field. So if you understand all this, then you will progress in your meditation, your cultivation. So I will read again. The true mind never accumulate memory. It's just an awareness. It's just aware, lives in the present, and is ever shining with clarity and awareness where it's not cluttered. This is the mind that enlightened being realized. All of us have the potential to realize this mind leading to the enlightenment. So when you can realize this true mind, the silent mind, the mind that has clarity and awareness within, the tranquil, peaceful, silent inner awareness, you will be able to insight into phenomena and awaken. That's the reason why when you can realize this mind, the meditative mind, the true mind, it will lead you to the enlightenment in the here and the now. You can see things as they are. You can insight into phenomena. Okay, I will go to point number 10. The real meditation can only arise when there is stability of daily mindfulness. That is, you are ever mindful and constantly meditative while in the midst of life. Means you are heedful all the time. That is the criteria which I explained just now. For you to really progress, you must stabilize this daily mindfulness. The stability of daily mindfulness leading to heedfulness throughout the day is real meditation and is very important. Then point number 11 is very important. This one, before I start today's sharing, I already explained. This one is the sharing by Brother Song. Brother Song shared how he tackled a situation while in the office where his boss wrongly blamed him. He's aware that his heart is not at ease initially because he has developed the stability of mindfulness. His mind is already very sensitive. That's why he can sense it, he can feel it. And because this time it's not a straightforward situation, because somebody made the mistake, the boss didn't know, the boss blamed him, scolded him, and make him responsible. And it is not uncommon. A lot of cultivators get trapped under this condition. That's the reason why, if you don't have experienced teacher or guide to guide you, you can be trapped there for very long. In fact, during the early days, many years back, when Brother Song experienced that transformation while in, I think, they visit this Ajahn Anand's temple, Wat Ma Chat. He brought along my notes, the Heart Sutra notes, and he was reading them. Before that, he already read, cultivated. And suddenly there was this chanting, I think related to Kuan Yin. The music came out. Then he was in the state of sati, mindfulness awareness. Then he was able to connect to it. Then that chanting and the vibration become one, and that one activated his heart. That's how his sati came. Then after that, to his surprise, because of the faith, Sada Virya Sati, leading to the Samadhi, then he read the Heart Sutta note again, then all of a sudden, the understanding arise, where all this sharing, the teaching from the Heart Sutta, came from the silent mind. Then he starts to develop the understanding, and he starts to see a lot of things, understand a lot of things, and there was so much joy, so much gratitude, compassion, tears, and many things happened. Then when he came back with Sister Yun Chan Liao, he already knew what happened. That's why he was so joyful and he shared. And when he shared, I rejoiced and I said to him. And after that, he continued with the meditation. Then not long, I think a few weeks later, the question started to arise. Then every time he asked me, I said, this is from the thought. Forget about the thought. If you go back to the thought, you will be trapped. And it's not easy. It took him a long time to understand that, to overcome that. Then after he overcome, off and on, this type of habitual tendency to go back to the thought, to reason. But this thought, like come back through the back door, they use another word to replace reasoning, to analyze. You cannot analyze, you cannot reason. Your wisdom is not a knowledge. You cannot use it to analyze and rationalize. So I told him, forget about the thought. Silence your mind. Relax, maintain awareness, then develop the understanding. It took him quite a while, actually. Then later on, after he has more and more understanding, the sati stabilized, then a lot of things start to transform and happen. Then for quite a while, he got no more problem. Yeah. Then this one is a very small test, which is good for him to create the condition for him to remember. That's why that night I answered him. I told him, I read on, then you will understand. Brother Song shared how he tackled a situation in the office where his boss wrongly blamed him. He was aware that his heart was not at ease initially. He then silenced his mind, which was what I taught him. Huh? Then he know how to do. And be with the agitated mind state, which he do. He then realized he is at peace again. Reversing the negative thinking. Wait, I read again. Huh? He then silenced his mind and be with the agitated mind state. Full stop. He is then at peace again. Full stop. Ah, okay. Then reverse your negative thinking if your mind is agitated. Don't go and analyze. Don't go and rationalize and think why my mind still agitated. This is where he went wrong again. So reverse your negative thinking if your mind is agitated. Always have right view to be at peace with the reality first. Means, like the Buddha said, whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions. So condition like that, things will be like that, it has to be that way. Cannot be otherwise. Then why you want to ask question? Why you allow the mundane mind, the thought, to come back to the back door and introduce the question? That's where he got caught. Then I explained to him. Then I think Man Yuan put there, please do listen to the recording for the full detail. Huh? But point number 12 is my answer to him. Brother Teo advised Brother Song not to use the thought to reason or analyze or rationalize or find out why his heart was still not at peace initially or not at ease initially. But instead, just to silence the mind and be with the agitated mind state straight away. Do not do anything and just let the mind settle. Understand that his mind is agitated due to his attachment to the thought telling him that the boss is blaming him. His thought will then say, but the problem is still there. So the thought always have that cunningness. Coming back through the back door to tell you, I still have to resolve it. But the understanding will automatically resolve it because problem only arise when you perceive it with negativity, when you lack right view. That's why do not entertain the wrong thought. This is very important. Your wisdom, no need to rationalize, no need to reason. Don't need to analyze. The analysis is always by the thought. So this is where a lot of cultivators go wrong. So I will continue to read to you my advice to him. I say, Brother Theo said, yes. And the form and mind has to resolve the issue. This is correct. Nothing wrong. But you must understand. Resolve it amicably with a settled mind, with wisdom. Accept the reality first. Be at peace. Then arise the right view to do whatever you need to do to resolve whatever issue amicably following Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So this is where he has to act. So I told him, yes, the form and mind has to resolve the issue. But resolve it amicably with a settled mind, with wisdom, following Noble Eightfold Path. Use the silent mind to investigate into what happened. You will understand that things are just the way they are. Conditioned like that, things will be like that. Arise the appropriate right thought and right speech to resolve the matter amicably. Then I say, even if it's your fault, let's say he didn't really blame you because you really make a mistake. So what? No problem. There is no need to panic. If you need to apologize, just do it. Then radiate metta, love. Do not perceive the issue negatively. Just apply Noble Eightfold Path. Do what you must do. Resolve it amicably. So I repeated here the important message. Do not use the mundane mind or knowledge to resolve matter. Means don't analyze, don't reason, don't rationalize. Yeah, this is always by the thought, which is knowledge-based. Example, by asking, how come I still get agitated? So this is a very common mistake of cultivator. If you cannot see this, you cannot develop the stability of mindfulness and wisdom to awaken to this, you cannot progress beyond, you will get yourself stagnated. And this is something a lot of cultivator doesn't understand. But most cultivator who are thought-based, they can't even reach this stage. They continuously use their thought to analyze, to rationalize. That's how they get stuck. Somebody want to say something? Oh, the mic is not properly. Oh, okay. It's okay. I think somebody didn't really off the mic. Yeah? There's some background distortion sound. Okay, so we finish off with the notes. Huh? Then also, I did mention. Can go to page Heart Sutta 132. Yeah, move to page 132. Earlier on, I explained today I flicked through the Heart Sutta, then I realized there is also the answer 132. Yes, you look at this page 132, the first, second, third paragraph. The one thing to know, to react, or to become and peaceful via the thought is a delusion. So bear this in mind. Sometimes you meditate, then you realize you fail to develop the awareness, the peacefulness, the stillness, the tranquility, the inner awareness. You fail to realize the meditative mind. Then the thought will trigger off. We are delusion and tell you, how come today I cannot get it? That is craving. That is desire. That is rationalization. Forget about the thought. Just relax, maintain awareness. Then resolve whatever you need to resolve amicably following the Noble Eightfold Path. That is the answer. That's why the Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. You have to apply that. And to apply that, you must cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. You must have the embodiment of all the Noble Eightfold Path factor within your nature, cultivated. Otherwise, you cannot handle life. You cannot resolve all life situation and problem. That's the reason why it's not so straightforward. You may know the theory, but you cannot do it. It's because, like just now, if after you cultivate, you develop the understanding, if you don't apply that understanding, it will remain knowledge. It doesn't help you. So you have to apply. Apply means what? Use all this that you have developed and go into life. Apply that understanding to overcome whatever life problem or situation that you encounter. Then, with understanding, with mindfulness, awareness, straighten your view. So that in future, when you confront similar First Noble Truth reality or situation, you will know how to act. You act according to wisdom, following Noble Eightfold Path. You no longer act according to memory, views, opinion, knowledge, conditioning, or theory of Dhamma. That is not the real correct action. We are acting according to memory, is not acting at all. Because before you become enlightened, your memory is full of wrong thought. Your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, insecurity, scars of memory, agitation, views and opinion, conditioning, they are all there. Your selfishness, your anger, your hatred, your emotion, your delusion, they are all in your accumulated memory. So if you act according to your accumulated memory, which are mostly negative emotion and wrong thought, then you are not acting at all, because this is acting according to delusion, acting according to your selfishness, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your accumulated experiences, your insecurity. So all this is killing you, afflicting you, causing you suffering and misery. That's why acting according to memory is not acting at all. When you stay there, it is like hell to the cultivator. That's why stay at the heart. Don't stay at the forehead, the brain there. Stay at the heart, so that it is most of the time with your nature, awareness, through mind. That's how you develop the ability to break free. But when you have the wisdom connected to your form and mind, then the memory is useful. That thought process is useful. I use it to arise the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood, and the right mindfulness following Noble Eightfold Path. Because at that time, it is useful. When you already have the understanding or the awakening or the wisdom connected to your nature, then from then onward, the form and mind is no longer deluded. It will not get itself entangled or afflicted by the phenomenal world of consciousness anymore. That's how meditation liberates. So this part, later on, maybe in next few sessions, when we come to it, we will share it. So we go back to lesson 23. Okay. So you start. Page 123, lesson 23. The five aggregate, understanding, meditation, and sati. You have to listen. This topic is very useful, very profound and beautiful. Within the five aggregates of form and mind, form is much grosser and has perceptible characteristics. Hence, it is quite easy to see and understand form. But when it comes to mental aggregates, like the feeling, perception, sankhara activity of mind, means your thinking, your mental states, your mental formation, and mental intention, etc., and consciousness, they are formless. Hence, they are much more subtle and more difficult to perceive or see and understand. Most people do meditation without the true understanding of what is meditation as taught by the Buddha, and also what is sati and its true purpose and intent. Hence, their main activity are centered on developing the so-called good meditation, such as calmness and tranquility of mind via focusing, concentration. So when they focus the mind, concentrate the thought, they are doing thought-based meditation, and this is a conditioned state, energy field. Such calmness and tranquility are usually taken as good meditative state, which they will cling on to as a sign of good progress, forgetting that it is only wisdom that free and liberates the mind. The calmness and tranquility are good conditioned state, but they are only the byproduct of meditation that should not be clung on to. Instead, they should make use of it to develop wisdom or insight needed for enlightenment via sati, which is mindfulness, to see things as they are without any concept, words, idea, or thought. So this is something a lot of cultivators doesn't understand. But they don't even know sati. What is sati? They thought the nothing is sati. The nothing by the thought is not sati. Sati is just an awareness before the knowing. That's why mindful, attentive, aware, finish. So without sati or mindfulness, you cannot see things as they are. To understand what is going on in life within the moment, use the sati or silent mind before the knowing to meditate and awaken to the three universal characteristics of nature and to develop the insight knowledge needed to free the mind. See clearly that all phenomena are conditioned arising, natural conditioned arising phenomena. Upon contact of mind with their respective sense bases, they arise. Also see how upon contact, consciousness and its seven universal mental concomitants come to be, and how through ignorant avijja, contact, condition, craving, leading to all the grasping and clinging, etc., that causes one suffering. When wisdom or yonisomanasikara, wise attention at the moment of sense experience, or the initial wisdom is not there, and you experience a sense object or at the moment of sense experience. So this is very easy to understand. When you are mindful and aware, you can see all this, you can understand all this. Yeah. Because at the moment of sense experience, every moment of contact, like the physics experiment, the consciousness will arise. Then simultaneously, if you don't have the wisdom, the right view, your wrong view, sakkayaditti and ignorance, will condition the wrong thought. You will input the wrong content of consciousness. That's why your content of consciousness will have this wholesome and unwholesome mental states. Then most of the time, before you have the wisdom or before they become enlightened, living beings always input the wrong content of consciousness. Here you don't have right view, right aim, right understanding. Then I reload. Then one will come to understand clearly how thought arises, then to respond to memory. You can see this very clearly. And how one grasps and clings to all those memories via our mental perception and thinking that condition our emotional negativity and fear, etc., leading to all the suffering and misery in life. Because your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your belief system, all this trigger of conditioning. That's why you develop all the agitation, the fear, and your movement become like restricted by all this, especially your tradition, your belief system and all those things. Even your culture, you cannot move away from your culture, your belief system, your race and identity and all those things. Your mind is like trapped by all those. That's why you become rigid. You become so conditioned, like you don't have a free mind to act, to move. You don't have space, because all this are in your memory, restrict your ability to have a clear awareness, to develop the clarity of mind, to see things clearly, to develop the right understanding. Then I read on that. And because of delusion, you take them as very real and give them meaning, hence arising your grasping and clinging. In actual fact, there is no one to see, no one to think, no one to feel, grasp and cling. So this part is not easy for you to understand, because most human beings who are not enlightened, their egoic mind is there. Their thoughts are still egoic. That's why they can never have this understanding. So here, what I mention is, because of delusion, you all will take all these things that you perceive and come to experience as very real. Then you give them meaning. That's why you cling and grasp onto them. That's how you get yourself entangled. All these are due to your wrong view, sakyadity, self-delusion, because you still cannot see their condition arising nature. To insight into the three universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, and anatta. This form and mind, because they are not a permanent unchanging entity, that's why it cannot be you. You cannot say this is me, this is I, this is self. No such thing. Even though this is not self, it is something. That's why the Buddha introduced the concept of in between. It's neither self or no self, means atta or attaniya, but it is in between, anatta. Anatta means this one is not self. It is non-self. So there is such thing as a human being, but it is not a permanent unchanging entity that you can grasp onto, hold onto, cling onto and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, all this can be mine. No such thing. See this, realize this, awaken to this. Then you transform. You can awaken and become enlightened. So this is where mindfulness come in. When you see all the five aggregate form and mind so clearly, then when you read the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, you will understand. In fact, during the early day when I cultivate, I didn't really go into the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, but I saw them in the meditation. Then I developed another understanding to see all this very clearly. Because I inquire, is feeling real? Is feeling me? Then I realize feeling come and go, I am still around. That's why I developed this understanding, which is different from what was described in the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. The Anatta Lakkhana Sutta is also beautiful. Yeah. But for me, I realize the five aggregate of form and mind as unreal, non-self, through my own understanding. But I ask the question, if feeling is me, Then when feeling change from pleasant to unpleasant, I should die. But I didn't die. So how can feeling be me? Feeling come and go, my nature still arise, still exists, the form and mind still exist. Similarly, perception, every moment of perception, keep on changing in a state of flux. Perception also come and go. Sankara activity also come and go. Consciousness also arise and pass away. But my nature and my form and mind still around. So how can they be me? That's why straight away I know. They are impermanent, dependent, originating, condition, no reality. And they are anatta, non-self, empty, no reality. That's how my nature developed the understanding and breakthrough. But for the Buddha, he used the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, which is more easy to understand by normal people who have not developed the meditation yet. Because he used the word self. It's the physical body self, it's feeling self, it's perception self, it's sankhara, mental activity and mental state self. Is consciousness self. His usage of self is, if it is self, it will not tend towards suffering. Means you have control over it, Buddha said. If it's self, means I have control over it. I can tell it, don't get old, don't get sick, don't die. It will obey me because it is self. It belongs to you. But because it's non-self, that's why it tends towards suffering, even our physical body. When you want to get sick, it doesn't ask you permission. Oh master, I'm about to get sick. No. It goes the way of nature. Everything is dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomenon, anatta nature. It exhibits the universal characteristics of anicca. You grab and cling. One thing's your way, which is not nature's way. Suffering comes to be. This is anicchang dukkha. Then because it's anicchang, it is anatta, non-self and empty nature or existence. So all this will become very clear. Then you will develop that type of wisdom to awaken. Then the anatta lakkhana after sutta, after that move on. The Buddha say, after you understand the five aggregate is not self, then he asks, is the form physical body permanent? Is feeling permanent? Is perception permanent? Is sankhara activity permanent? Is consciousness permanent? So if you have been observant or mindful, you can see they come and they go, they come and they go. So they answer him, oh Lord, is impermanent. Then the Buddha straight away bring up a very important conclusion that awakened them. Do you know what the Buddha say after that? If it's impermanent, then is it right to claim or say that that which is impermanent and tends towards suffering, self, that one straight away awakened the five ascetic who listen to the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, and they became arahant straight away. It is really easy, not difficult. If you have gone into it, if you have the mindfulness understanding, you will awaken there and then. True or not? The five aggregate of form and mind, they are impermanent. So whatever that is impermanent and tends towards suffering, which you have no control, how can you say this is me, this is I, this is self? Impossible. So both ways can liberate the mind. That's the reason why when I read the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta later on when I came out to share, remember the year 2004, my nature was full of joy. But then I also developed a more joyful moment because I realized all this without really reading the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta at that time. because I don't really know that there is Anatta Lakkhana Sutta until later on when I came out to share. So all this understanding, they came from my nature's past cultivation. That's why it can arise and it can unfold. So this is the part, huh? I want you to develop the understanding. Then I read on the last paragraph. The human being is the first aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind. And this is only a vehicle and tool, karmically conditioned out of your karmic nature for us to come to this existential world, to use it to live life. So to live this segment of our life, and it is not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can call the me and the I, where it is not you, it is not a permanent, unchanging entity. When you see this clearly, you truly awaken. You have taken birth and you have died for so many countless life, birth and death. So which one of these countless numbers of segmented life or birth and death is you? None. So do wake up to this truth, this understanding with right view and wisdom. Then you will understand the secret of life and you will know how to truly live life without having to worry about life anymore. Because when you understand that this five aggregate of form and mind, the first aspect, the human being, is just a vehicle and a tool for you to come to this existential world, to live by the experience, all this karmic thing or whatever, to cultivate, to perfect yourself, to fulfill your vow and all those things. So just do it. Use it. Because they are here to serve you. Your servant, your tool, vehicle and tool. So make use of it. Do not worry about it. Do not lament over what happened. Because they serve you. They are karmically conditioned, vehicle and tool. They are connected to your karmic nature. They are subject to karma. That's why this one, you must have the right duty to take care of the five areas of form and mind. You cannot simply do things even after you have become enlightened, awakened. But the form and mind has its duty. It cannot simply do things. That's the reason why the enlightened one will know under the salutation to the Sangha, the fourth unique quality of enlightened disciple of the Buddha, Samichi Patipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangha. What is that? Of right duty is the order of the enlightened disciple of the Buddha. Yeah. So they got four great quality. First is Supatipanno, which is of right conduct, then upright conduct, then wise conduct, then the last one is dutiful conduct. So they have these four type of very, very beautiful, I call it the virtuous and wise conduct. Without these four, you don't qualify to be enlightened being of the Buddha. You must have right view leading to all the great quality. So of good conduct, you conduct yourself very well. Of upright conduct, you are very righteous. Of wise conduct, you have the wisdom, the right view. Then you do your duty because you know the law of karma. You understand both the condition and the unconditioned. The five aggregate of form and mind, the first aspect, which is the human being or the living being, that one is not you, but it is subject to karma. That's the reason why it's not easy to understand. And when you understand, like I said in the last sentence, you will understand the secret of life and you will know how to truly live life without having to worry about life anymore. So this Dhamma is very powerful very transforming and really wonderful and amazing. Okay, we will move on. 1.2. Does realization happen during or out of meditation? Now, what do you think? What do you all think? The wisdom, the wisdom or meditation or realization, does it happen during or out of meditation? What do you think? Nobody want to try? Never mind. Anyway, I will answer it first. I answered that, I say it can happen anytime. The criteria is what? As long as you are heedful, which means you are constantly meditative and ever mindful, and you are in that steadfast state, as explained by the Buddha via his Dhammapada verse 23. Never crave or desire or expect it to happen, because that craving, desire, and expectation are thoughts that will prevent one from awakening to the state of enlightenment, which is beyond thought, to see things as they are. So you have to silence the mind completely and be patient to cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness as taught by the Buddha via sati, or the silent mind. Then only can one awaken. When you are out of the formal meditation and yet you are still heedful most of the time, means in the midst of life, with the daily mindfulness, very stable, then you can also awaken to the truth. That is, as long as you are heedful, awakening can happen anytime. You can realize the awakening via any of the first, second, or third turning of the Four Noble Truths. But if you are heedless, you are as if dead, spiritually dead. Hence, you don't stand a chance. There is no way for you to awaken, as confirmed by the Buddha via his Dhammapada verse 21, which states, the heedless are as if dead. So that one is very easy to understand. Then 1.3. What is it that we must be aware of? See, this is a wrong question. A lot of cultivators don't understand. Even monks that teach the Four Foundation of Mindfulness workshop, people ask him that question. He also cannot understand. So when we say we must be constantly aware, the question is, what is it that we must be aware? So I explain again. You listen, this is very good. Awareness is before the knowing. So there is nothing for you to be aware of. I use the word technically, understand? It is just an awareness before the labeling and the perception and the words. That is, mind is in silent awareness, the seeing as they are, the pure perception without the words, the concept. Before the arising of the aggregates of mind to interpret and give meaning to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. Just the mind and the phenomena in harmony and perfect synchronization before the knowing, means specific phenomenal awareness. So don't go and note anything or look for the phenomena, but instead just silence your mind and allow the phenomena to awaken you or to tell you their characteristic. We are the silent awareness to awaken or insight into the three universal characteristics of all phenomena. This is the reason why the Buddha's instruction on cultivating anapanasati is such, mindfulness of the in and out breath. The instructions are breathing in, aware, breathing out, aware. Just an awareness of the in and out breath. No focusing, no noting, no doing. The breath and the mind move as one in perfect harmony and synchrony without thought and at ease. And the Buddha always say, in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness, no one to see. That it is just the pure consciousness or awareness before the knowing that arises naturally like the physics experiment upon contact of mind with the eye as the organ, like the physics experiment analogy of the light bulb, battery and switch. So similarly, when you are aware, there is no one to be aware of anything. There is just an awareness. There is the silent mind and phenomena as one, without thought, to perceive anything. That's why mindfulness, sati, is just aware, specific phenomena aware, awareness. That's why it doesn't think. It doesn't dwell. It's just aware. Then the physics experiment is very good. Upon contact, the light bulb lights up. The lighting up is like your mind becomes conscious. Conscious of what you see. That's like that seeing consciousness. But before you input the content of consciousness born of your wrong view, your memory, your sakayadity, your conditioning, that one is very important. That's the reason why you have heard my sharing and also Han, the sister Po Cheng in Singapore. Do you know what she shared or not? Which is very beautiful. He said, your mind, after you have developed the stability of mindfulness, is so different. It can be at the moment of consciousness, moment of contact. It doesn't move. It can stay there because there is no more wrong view, craving, delusion. So at the moment of consciousness, like the light bulb lights up, the views, opinion, and conditioning from the memory does not go in because her sati becomes so clear, the awareness nature, she has realized that silent mind, that true mind, without thought, without mental hindrance, for that length of meditation period. And when she come out, the daily mindfulness become very clear and very sharp. Then she can see all this movement without words. Then she understands how she functions as a human being. How the mundane mind, through its own self-delusion, conditioning, views, opinion, and memory, create all the entanglement of life. Then when she saw all this, she straightened her view and become different. Then all these things can never come and disturb her anymore. He said, like the mind cannot move anymore. All the crazy, heedless activity of sankhara is like suddenly cannot have any more power over her. And it's so amazing. He said, the mind, just like that, silent, aware. It wanted to think, it think. It doesn't want it to think, it stop. It cannot move. It cannot develop all the delusion anymore. So that is the amazing part of the real sati, the real meditation. When you have done it correctly, you will go through the transformation and everything can be understood there and then without knowledge, without thought. Like she says, so amazing. She went through all those. It's like beyond her wildest dream. He just continued to use the word, it's so amazing, that it just transformed her without her doing anything. It's because she managed to realize that sati, the silent mind, the self nature, the awareness, that awareness is so sharp, so clear, so stable. The moment you realize that, you transform, you become so different. That's why have faith. Then develop the cultivation, persevere. Sincerity, faith, and perseverance will give rise to the way and you will transform. Okay? Then I read on. So similarly, when you are aware, there is no one to be aware of anything. There is just an awareness. That is the silent mind and phenomena as one without thought to perceive anything. Equanimity means non-duality, seeing things as they are with yonisomanasikara or wise attention at the moment of sense experience is the key to enlightenment. Because only through wisdom and understanding can the mind be free. The nature's law that governs life and existence, especially the law of karma, is very complicated and complex. So without wisdom, without mindfulness and awareness, it is very difficult to cope with life. Thinking can become a habitual tendency when we lack mindfulness and wisdom. And because of our rather conditioned view and opinion, we tend to develop a lot of negative thought via habitual tendency. As we understand, wrong thoughts are thoughts that condition our fear, worry, anxiety, suffering, and misery, etc. As such, they should be abandoned via right effort and wisdom. We must apply the Kalama Sutta's advice, not only to advice given to us by others, but also to our own thought. Hence, whatever advice given to us in order to know whether we should follow it or not, the Buddha said to the Kalama at that time that they should reflect and contemplate as follows to find out. If I follow the advice, or in this particular case, my thought, will it cause me suffering and misery to ourselves and to others? If not, then we can try it. Otherwise, abandon it. So if it's applied to our own thought, then we will know how to abandon all the wrong thought and develop only the right thought and wholesome thought via the four right effort as described in the Noble Eightfold Path. Then I also sent out a video, I think at one of the retreats which my daughter, they all prepare in Jinhao. Your mind is like a garden, and also inside there, I explain what is wrong thought, the danger of arising wrong thought. So if our mind is like a garden, what must you do? You must plant the seed of wholesomeness in there, all the good seed in it with the right thought, the virtue, and all the wholesome mind state in it, like gratitude, compassion, love, sincerity, kindness, gentleness, pleasantness. So all this, even contentment, you must have them. But instead, what do human beings do? Every day they arise the wrong thought. And what are wrong thought? They plant all the weeds. So weeds are like the wrong thought. They disrupt and destroy your garden. And what are weeds? Every day you get angry, agitated. So all your anger, hatred, envy, jealousy, like and dislike, your lack of contentment, your emotional negativity, your fear, worry, anxiety, your phobia, your insecurity, scars of memory, all these are wrong thoughts. So if throughout the day you create all this, no wonder you become miserable, afflicted. It means you don't understand life. What are wrong thoughts? Thoughts that condition your misery, your suffering. How can you allow them to do this to your mind state? Which means you lack understanding. You don't love yourself. If you love yourself, it's like you love your child. You will go all out to protect your child from any harm or danger. Then you will, without condition, out of pure love, provide for them, sacrifice for them, care for them, and do whatever possible for their well-being and happiness. Why can't you do the same? Because you fail to have the mindfulness to see all this. That's why you lack understanding. You become heedless. You become deluded. And you create all the wrong thoughts that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, leading to depression, suicidal thought, and all those things. And this is what Dhamma is all about. So the teaching is about Noble Eightfold Path, right view leading to right thought. But why are you still carrying and producing so much of this wrong thought? Whenever you are not peaceful, not happy, the wrong thoughts are there. So this is such a good guide. So if you are not peaceful, not happy, means you are heedless. You are creating all the wrong thoughts. You don't love yourself. You indulge in the wrong thought to harm yourself, hurt yourself, and make yourself miserable. Like I say, your thought is like a tool for you to use to help you understand life, live life, and do all the right things. So take for example a knife, which is also a tool. You use it for what? Cutting fruits, cutting vegetables, shaping, crafting, and do the proper thing. But instead, you use that knife to harm yourself, hurt yourself, and hit out at others. Is that the right way to use that tool? Definitely, you know it's wrong, isn't it? But precisely, human being is using their thought that way to arise a wrong thought, to harm themselves, hurt themselves, and hit out at others, and bring about so much suffering and misery to the world, leading to depression, suicidal thought, war, conflict, disharmony. Yeah. Now everywhere, you can witness them. Yeah. Even with the pandemic spreading in the United States, it's happening in most of the cities. Then even early on in Hong Kong, then all over the world, you can see. That's the reason why the first noble truth is about the prevalence of suffering. Suffering is everywhere when you lack this understanding of the teaching, the Dhamma, when you lack this wisdom. Okay, so this one is very useful, very important. Huh? Oh, okay. Okay, I have to read on. Huh? Not much time left. Oh, yo, 10:25. Okay, I read on. Without wisdom, thought is always egoic. With wisdom, we can see all this. That is, we can see the limitation of thought. And how thought divides through words like religion, race, gender, nationality, views and opinion, relationship, etc. To bring about all the conflict, misunderstanding, argument, jealousy and envy, leading to all the enmities and war, with wisdom we will see clearly that it is only a thought and just form and mind arguing. They are only the aggregates of mind, and they are not you or non-self. Like the analogy as given by the Buddha to the five aggregates, feeling is like bubble, because feeling or sensation arise and pass away from moment to moment. Pop is gone, pop is gone. Then perception is like a mirage, only a mental image. Sankara is like a banana tree stem, because layer after layer, after you peel, at the center of it or the core, it is empty, which is similar to your thought or thinking. Sankara finally leads to emptiness. They always arise and pass away, and very quickly they are dead and gone, hence empty, only thought, come and go, come and go. Then consciousness is like a great magician or illusionist, creating all the illusion to delude living beings. Living beings should inquire deep into why the Buddha says sabbe sankhara anicchang, sabbe sankhara dukkang, and sabbe dhamma anatta, to understand its deep meaning. Sankhara is only mental activity or thought. So how come they have such power over you to delude you and cause you so much suffering and misery? It is because we are ignorant and delusion. You give it power to torment you without you knowing. Without wisdom, with wisdom, we can see all this clearly. And we will come to understand that things are just the way they are, and that everything that we come to perceive through our mind are all conditioned arising causal phenomena, and they are all manifestation of mind or mental images only. Hence not so real and not what we think. So don't grasp, don't cling, and don't give it meaning. We are delusion. Otherwise, they can torment us. Then the essential Dhamma is taught by the Buddha. I think this one we have gone through. Huh? I will just rush through it quickly. Appamadavagga, Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23 on hatefulness. Then the Four Noble Truths, the Noble Eightfold Path, the Five Mental Hindrance, the Five Spiritual Faculty, the Three Evil Roots of Greed, Hatred, and Delusion, and the Five Daily Contemplation. then right view with regards to the law of karma, Four Noble Truths, and the dwelling. So all these essential dhamma of the Buddha, Sister Han Po Cheng has already gone through, and she was dead serious about it. That's how she progressed. And they must be clearly understood in order to progress along the path of Dhamma. The reason being, when I first came out to share the Buddha Dhamma during the year 2004, I thought what living being need was the Dhamma. But after I had started, I came to realize that very few could really understand the true Buddha Dhamma. Yet at that time, their basic understanding of the essential Dhamma as taught by the Buddha was still not there. So when I contemplated on it, how can living being develop the understanding of the true Dhamma, then this understanding come to me. This is the reason why nowadays I reverse the teaching to focus on the essential Dhamma first before teaching the true Dhamma to new people. You realize new people, when they come, or the Thursday class, Tuesday class, I keep on repeating the essential Dhamma. The teaching centered on the above essential Dhamma that I mentioned. We are not able to be aware of the silence of nature because of the phenomenal world. Our mind is so clouded and cluttered with thought. The vibration and the activity of mind, sankhara activity, that thought creates. This is the reason why most of us can only perceive the silence of nature only in the middle of the night when everything is very quiet. We are the essence of mind. Consciousness created the world and the continent and the universe. The knower becomes the living being. We are ignorant and delusion. The knower grasps onto the form and mind, thinking that it is real and what they are, hence becoming the traveler in space and time, wandering in samsara, following the law of karma. Certain Dhamma books talk about be with the knower. Actually, there is no knower or any atta at all. There is only an awareness. Like the Buddha explained, in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness, and there is no one to see. Everything is condition arising, and they always arise and pass away following nature's condition. Hence, just be aware and don't get involved. That is why the mind that has wisdom will not stir. Oh, okay. Now when we leave this last page, 128, we stop here.